Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Before we have prayer, our call to worship is Psalms 99, verse 5, and it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." If anybody has a special request or a special petition to be brought before the Lord today, you're welcome to come up front while we have our family prayer. Father God, first of all, we would like you to know how much we love you, how much we praise you for your goodness toward us, for your love for us. We ask, Father, that you empty each one of us of ourselves today so we may be filled with your Spirit. We pray, Father, that you know our faults. You know the things we're struggling with, the habits that are so hard to get rid of, whether they be, I don't know, working on the computer too much, eating. Some of us may have problems with smoking and drinking that no one else knows about. But you know the desires of our hearts, Father. You know that we want to be wholly yours. So we pray that you help us to realize that your Holy Spirit is there to give us strength and that you have already overcome any bad habits we may have by your death on the cross. This is a day that you've given us to rejoice in, Father. Even it's a happy Sabbath, but even so, some of us are having hard times right now, problems in our lives. We ask that you help us to remember that we should still rejoice because you've got us in the palm of your hand. We pray for forgiveness for our sins. We pray for unity as a church family, Father. Help us to love those seated right next to us, behind us, in front of us, the way that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Good morning. Do we have any other boys or girls that haven't made it to the front? It's time for the children's story. We've got a special story for you this morning. You know, the sermon title today is A Message of Healing. And you know, I really looked very hard trying to determine what story I could tell that might go with the sermon. And as I was trying to make up my mind what I should tell, I'd find one story and I'd say, oh, that's really not, no, that won't work. So I'd look a little further and, no, that won't work either. And I was getting desperate. Thursday night, I still didn't have a story. What am I going to tell those children? And then I opened up the newspaper. And I found an article. I thought, hey, that may work. And then I remembered that I had made a trip to Alaska. I made a trip to Alaska several years ago, and you'll see up there on the screen a picture of a rather rustic-looking building. That is in Elkhetna, the last stopping place before Mount McKinley. It's a little tiny town and has wooden streets, does not have much traffic on the streets. There's a parking lot at the end of the area. There is also a place with hitching posts to tie your horses. And there's also a place for your ski mobiles. Anyway, it's a very unique place. And as you see to the side, there's little buildings all fastened together. And that's exactly the way most of that town is. Across the street was a big pavilion where people would gather. But during the tourist season, You can hardly walk up and down that street. There are so many people there. They bring them in by the busloads. When I was there, it was off season, and I had an opportunity to talk to some of the people. The reason I'm giving you this background is because in this large general store, they have a cat. They have a cat that they got soon after it was born. Someone brought them a box with all these kittens in, and the woman took out one, and she named it Stubby because its tail was rather short. So here is a picture of Stubby. Now, something unique about Stubby, right after he was born, they had an election in town, and no one liked the people that were running for office, so they wrote in the name Stubby. Stubby has been mayor of that town going on 16 years. Under his rulership, the town is thriving. Tourist business is improving. And they are pretty well satisfied with his leadership. He is a honorary mayor. It's such a small town. The population is about 800 people. So there's really not much contention for the office of mayor. And the reason I'm telling you this is because Stubby was minding his business, making his evening rounds last weekend, when all of a sudden a big dog appeared. The dog ran across the street. It was not on a leash, and it attacked Stubby. Stubby made it into the newspaper. Very much the same picture that you see right up there. And it says, "The honorary mayor of a tiny Alaska town is noticeably absent this week when he should be hanging out in the general store or sipping his water catnip concoction from a wine glass at the pub next door." So he's a very popular cat. Everybody likes him. In fact, he has been in news. He has had magazines where his picture has been on the front. This dog, when it attacked Stubby, injured him very, very seriously. There was no one in this little town that could take care of him, so they loaded him up, took him to the nearest town, which was 110 miles away, to Anchorage. There, they operated on him. They didn't think he'd even make it to the hospital, the animal hospital, but he did. He's a tough little cat. He made it to the hospital, and they operated on him. They repaired his wounds, and he is making progress. Now, the important thing is people around the world are praying for this little cat. In addition, people are sending in money to help pay the veterinary bills at this point, which are over $2,000. That's a lot of money for a little cat. Some of the headlines that appeared in the paper indicated mayor assassination attempt. So they have really hyped this up. But the important thing is, what can we learn from this? What can you learn? Can you learn anything? I would say one of the first things, if you have a dog, it needs to be on a leash, okay? What else can you learn? You learn that people have a big heart, that they love their animals. And you know, Jesus loves animals too. So we need to remember Stubby in our prayers. And we need to, one of the things with Stubby was so friendly. Made its rounds every night, visiting everybody, telling them good night. Then he'd go back to his bed at the general store. So a message of hope, a message of healing, and we pray that Stubby is going to be well and back on duty very shortly. Thank you for being such good listeners. Let's have a word of prayer for Stubby. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for the gift of animals and pets that we can love and that love us. Father, we think of Stubby today, and we ask that you bless him and his caregivers. May he heal rapidly where he may be back on duty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is taken from from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 3. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy."
Good morning, saints, and happy Sabbath. This is one of the most wonderful days in September. The 7th of September, the year of our Lord, 2013. To me, it is always a blessing to be in Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. Midland, the city of modern explorers. Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. Home, away from home, heading home. What do I mean? I was born in Africa, Kenya to be particular. That's my home. But Midland gave me a second home, right? So I'm home, away from home. Where am I heading? To my new home, Jerusalem, the city paved with streets of gold. Nothing beats that. Home, away from home, heading home. I would like to welcome all of you. The visitors, I got to know a number of you, the Duke family, Jonathan and his brother, Kathy Johnson and your family. I also saw some welcome, sister. And this is the place to be. Not only on the Sabbath, but on every other day when they have activity going on. Because during the activity, whatever is manifested during the day of worship is shown now as they relate and fellowship with all those who come for the various activities. We have the healing program. So we have the health cooking program, which will be starting this Thursday. We have the social visitation, the nature walk, which will be on Sunday. And we encourage you to attend. Thank you, Elder Dorothy, for the children's story. I never knew it was such a task when I chose the message for today's sermon, but it was really fitting. And I hope the mayor will have a quick recovery. I will also request you to pray for me, because the Spirit of the Lord has moved me and has shown me that there is a miracle about to take place in this church. So keep on praying, because all that the Spirit can do is show you. You have no control when the miracle is going to take place. But all you need to do is keep on praying that it happens at the time when God so wishes. Amen? Before we get to the word, let's just have a word of prayer. God, our loving Father, I am weak. I'm the least qualified. But God, you've chosen me as your messenger. Kindly let the message which you've sent me to deliver to your sons and daughters find its place in their hearts. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5 starts with the most famous miracles which happened in the Old Testament. It starts with the brief introduction of Naaman. Naaman, reading 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, we are told that now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. We are told that Naaman was great and honorable before the eyes of his master. Why? Because by him, that is by Naaman, the Lord had given victory to Syria. We are talking about time frame around 890s BC. The Syria of that time was the neighbor to Israel. Israel was a divided nation. Why? Because the two sons of King Solomon each wanted to take over the throne when Solomon passed on. So we had a division. The 10 tribes of Israel moved up to the north and had Jeroboam as their king, and the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, remained in the south and had Rehoboam as their king. The southern tribes had Jerusalem as their capital, whereas the northern tribes had Samaria as their capital. But the Syria now was the neighbor to the northern Israel kingdom, which had its capital as Samaria. Going on, we are told that Naaman was great and honorable before the eyes of his master because God had given victory to the whole Syrian nation because of him, Naaman. Which brings me to the first lesson for today's sermon, which is titled, The Message of Healing. The lesson is, the Lord can use you as an individual to be a source of blessing to a whole nation. We need not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. God's ways are always mysterious. How he can grant victory to a whole nation just because of one man, Naaman, who in the first place was not from God's chosen nation, Israel, speaks how mighty the Lord serves. But I'm also reminded that God is a just God. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and also sends rain on the just and on the unjust. We move on to verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Naaman himself, we are told at the close of verse 1 that, but he was a leper. Despite all those greatness, despite being a commander of the king's army, despite the Lord giving victory to the whole nation of Syria because of him, despite him being a man of great valor, we are told, but he was a leper. He had a condition. He had a shortfall. Lesson number 2. Naaman chose not to be a victim of the leprosy, but to be a victor of the leprosy. It's all about attitude. It's never about going with the crowd, but about standing out from the crowd. There is no way to stand out from the crowd than to let God dwell in you. Lepers during Naaman's time were regarded as lesser beings. The society referred to them as diseased people. And in some societies, they were viewed as outcasts. But Naaman overcame this. And he went on to become a commander of the king's army. God can use a perceived disadvantage to propel you to the highest of advantages. How a leper becomes a commander of the king's army and be regarded as great and honorable by the king is just amazing. But I'm also reminded that the Bible, which happens to be my favorite book, is full of such. An example is Moses. Moses, a felon. Moses, wanted in Egypt for murder. Moses had to flee from Egypt. But guess what? God picked Moses to go and get the Israelites, God's chosen nation, God's chosen children, out of Egyptian captivity. That speaks volumes. Moving on, I have come to realize also that circumstances, tough as they may be, can be likened to the furnace process, which burns out the dross. And at the end of it all, you will come out shining. Amen? And as the saying goes, behind every successful man, there is a woman. Verse 3 starts by saying, "Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" We find Naaman's wife engaged in a conversation with a captive young girl who I just read in verse 2. They were discussing, I don't know, I'm not a lady. But ladies, they have their own talk. Some call it gossip. Some call it exchanging ideas. Some call it updating. But what we find going on in verse 3 is a conversation between two ladies. Two ladies of two extremes. Naaman's wife, a wife of a commander of the king's army. She was high in social status. The captive young girl, first, she's in a foreign land. Stranger. Two, she's in captive land, away from home. And three, she is a maid, the lowest of status in the social hierarchy. But one thing I learned about Naaman's wife, she did not despise her, given that she was a captive, more so her maid. Point number two, she listened and heeded her advice, which can only imply that they were in good terms, which resulted in the young girl having courage to suggest to her, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he will heal him of his leprosy." And point number three about Naaman's wife is that she cared for her husband. Which brings me to the third lesson of today's message. Wives, care for your husbands. It will only be fair if I highlight the qualities of the captive young girl. We are not told her name, but that did not stop God from using her to bring about one of the greatest healing miracles in the Old Testament. She never let her captive status, her strangeness in a foreign land, cloud or dilute her faith in God, which reminds me of Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." She too overcame the victim mentality by seeking the best, not for herself, but for her master. Instead of being bitter, she made the better, or is it the best, of the situation. I've learned something about God. He hides his blessings in mysterious places. When you let go of yourself and let God use you, you can accomplish much. Do I have a witness? "I had not seen, nor ear heard the things the Lord has in store for those who love him. I'm paraphrasing 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. We proceed to verse number 4. Upon receiving the message from the captive young girl, Naaman's wife relays the message to her husband. And upon receiving the message, Naaman goes into action. Verse 4 reads, and Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. I like the clarity of Naaman's message. He never edited it so that to shield out the less importance of the captive young girl. Naaman relayed it as it was. In this era whereby everything is about what's the source, Naaman would have chosen to diminish the captive young girl. But Naaman gave credit by informing the king the source of the message. We move on to verse 5. We read about the preparation which Naaman took on. He took 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. However, let me remind you what the message of the girl was. If only my master were in Samaria, the prophet would heal him of his leprosy. There's no mention of the extras. There's no mention of the need of gold, silver, or clothing. Which brings me to the fourth lesson for today. Neither gold nor silver can buy me salvation. Every time I read the scripture, every time I go to church and listen to the sermon, every time I attend church service, I've always chosen to customize the message to myself. That's why I'll repeat again lesson number 4. Neither gold nor silver can buy me salvation. Quick reminder also, in this era of television, internet, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, name it, we have the televangelist and we have evangelism going everywhere. But one thing I've always disliked, or one thing I've always put a big question mark on, is the message that comes halfway, even before the sermon is over. Call the 1-800 number on your screen right now and sow a seed to receive your blessing. Blessings are not pegged upon you sowing a seed. Blessings come from the Lord, the Most High God. You don't need to have your debit card ready when you're calling that number, because the Lord is a loving God. He does not care whether you have silver or gold. What he has chosen to bless you, he will bless you at his own chosen time. In verse 6, we are told that the king of Syria, reading from verse 5, said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he, Naaman, departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. The message from the captive girl was about the prophet in Samaria, Israel. But the king of Syria has chosen to bring about some protocol. He's chosen to bring about some official dome in the correspondence. From king to king. One thing I've noticed, when we bring about our ways into God's ways, we risk missing out on the blessing. The message was to go to the prophet. The king had nothing to do with it. But protocol almost ruined Naaman's blessings. And I like what verse 7 reads. Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. The message was out of context totally. Little wonder the king of Israel responded as he did. But Isaiah 55 verse 11 tells us, but God's word shall never return to him void, but shall accomplish what he, God, pleases. When the king of Israel heard that, he tore his clothes. Verse 8 tells us, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. We are told Elisha is a man of God. Elisha, son of Shaphat. Elisha, highly life, a farmer. Elisha, God is anointing from prophet Elijah. Elisha, his style, fearless. Elisha, his witness, peerless. Elisha, his integrity, priceless. Elisha, man of God, knew how to comfort the afflicted and how to afflict the comfortable. It was Elisha who took care of the two sons of the widow when they were about to be enslaved by the creditors. Elisha got into the widow's house and asked the widow what she had. And the widow had oil in a jar. Elisha told her to shut the door behind her and caused the oil in the jar to multiply and poured the oil in all the vessels which were in the house, including the borrowed vessels. And once he had filled the last vessel, the oil ran out. Then Elisha told the lady, the widow, go sell that oil and pay out the debt. Elisha was a man of God, full of miracles. It was Elisha who brought back to life the Shunammite son who was dead. It was Elisha who had been able to take 20 barley breads and use it to feed 100 soldiers. Elisha, man of God, he hears that the king has torn his clothes and he goes ahead and gives the message. Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. We need Elishas in our church today. What the church needs is not great numbers in non-believers. It needs great believers in its numbers. Maybe I need to say that again. What the church needs is not great numbers in non-believers, but it needs great believers in its numbers. Once we have Elishas in the house, once we have believers in the house, once we have great believers in the house, miracles which happened during Elisha's time will start manifesting themselves in God's house. Amen? Amen? So Naaman proceeds with his horses and chariots and he goes and stands at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha does not even go to meet Naaman. Instead, he sends his messenger to Naaman saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Let me just underscore the relevance of the message. Elisha, man of God, did not care about the status of Naaman. What mattered was the message which God used him to deliver. Today, it's not about Vincent standing here preaching. It's about what God has chosen to use me to relate to you. Elisha sent a messenger to a commander of the king's army. Talk about status. Captive young girl discussing about the master and now the master, for him to get the treatment, it's a messenger, not the prophet who goes to meet him, but it's the messenger who relays the message. While still on that, if you remember how I started the summer, I said today is the seventh day of September. There's something about number seven in the Bible. One, it shows completeness. Jesus, God labored 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. There's something about number seven. It denotes completeness. There's another thing about number seven. The children of Israel, when they conquered Jericho, they went round the walls of Jericho seven times. And on the seventh time, it came down. There's something about number seven. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were cast into a furnace which was heated seven times more. But by the time they got in there, God was with them. And there's also something about number seven. My first name, Vincent, has seven letters. But the message never made sense to Naaman. Naaman became furious and went away, reading verse 11, and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." It's never about the messenger. It's always about the message. Lesson number six. God's ways are not our ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55 verse 8 through 9. Naaman wanted the healing to come his way, according to his status and on his terms. So is it with us today as Christians. Instead of taking the word to the world, we are bringing our ways, convenience included, to God's word and worship. It's all about the in thing. Instead of taking, it's about my way or the highway. Focus has shifted from what God's mission is to, oh, you know, we have bills to pay. Oh, you know, we need so and so because we got a budget. You know, we need to get the members be comfortable. But I have a message for you. In so doing, we are losing out on our spirituality. We are losing out on our power. We are losing out on the God-given presence. As God has told us, I will dwell in you if you walk in my ways. But I have a message. If it's God's will, then the bill belongs to God. If it's God's choice, the invoice is also his. Let's always seek God and acknowledge his ways. Humble ourselves in the eyes of the Lord, and he will lift us up. As I come to a close, the final lesson, lesson number seven. As I come to a close, the final lesson, lesson number seven. The message of healing. Let me also remind you that God is in the miracle business. Jehovah Rapha, God is still a healer. Jehovah Jireh, God will still provide. God, Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner. Let's always remember what God has always done for each and every one of us. Reading verse 12. Naaman continues to say, "Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. For Naaman, he felt his status was for him to partially follow the instructions. Not to go and wash himself 7 times in the Jordan, but he could do the washing, the 7 times, in Abana and Farfar rivers in Damascus. There's something which comes out here clearly. He has been sent to the Jordan, but he introduces Abana and Farfar. Now we have 3 rivers, but he has been sent to the Jordan, not Abana or Farfar in Damascus. He has been sent to the Jordan, which makes me look forward to what happened at Calvary. At Calvary, we had 3 crosses. But the cross in which Jesus Christ, he was baptized in the Jordan, is the one which brought salvation, is the one which brought healing for all sinners. I will not look at the 2 other crosses, but my salvation rests on the cross of he who was baptized at River Jordan. For Naaman to be healed, it required his servants to further speak to him to go and wash in the Jordan. Verse 13 tells us, his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? And Naaman went and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Today, I, Vincent Ongori, I am like Naaman. Today, I, Vincent Ongori, I am like Naaman. Naaman was a commander of the king's army. But I am a soldier in the King of Kings army. I am a soldier in the Lord of Lords army. I'm a soldier in the 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 army of the Lord. And by virtue of being a soldier in the army, the Lord has given me victory. I don't know about you. The Lord has given me victory. I remember when I was at the tuition. I was at the line at the tuition, student accounts line. And the financial aid officer already smiled at me because I had already exhausted all the excuses for my classes not to be dropped. But when I got there, the Lord had given me victory. I remember Adrian telling me, it's all right, your classes won't be dropped. The tuition is already paid. I don't know about you. Maybe it's that relationship. You knew it was done. You are already starting to think about separation and all that comes with separation. But just out of the blue, the Lord gave you the victory. And the relationship is still on. You have not only been married for all that time, but you've lived to see your children and your children's children get married. And when they come visit you during your anniversary, they tell you the reason why we are still married is because you are still married. It may be the health problem. The doctor gave you 6 months or 3 months. But you chose, no, I ain't going to put my house in order. I'm going to pray to the God of Israel. And God So to it that the 3 months came and passed. You quit the prescription. 1 month came, 1 year came, and it's gone. It's not only 2 years. It's not only 3 years. You've lived to see 10 years. You've even started investing in assets for 10 years from now. Because God gave you that victory over that disease. It may have been you in this economy when there's always downsizing, right-sizing, retrenching, name it. And you heard that your department, your unit had been sold to a competitor. So that afternoon you came back from the lunch break and found all your colleagues gone. When you inquired, you said, they got the pink slip. But you alone survived that axe. That victory God gave you in a strange way. I don't know whether I'm talking to you. You have been on the streets. You've been living a street life. But that day, the shootout wiped out everybody in your gang. But you alone lived to tell the story. And I'm talking to you students, because it's a challenge being a student in the world today. You gave it your best, and it was your final year. But after the exam, you knew you're done. You ain't going to be able to graduate. But when the results were posted, you made it. All of your friends, some who were better than you, some who were top of the class during the entire semester, never made the cut. Only you was able to graduate. God gave you that victory. But like Naaman, that victory has brought great honor. That victory has resulted in you being a man of valor. But we, like Naaman, we are lepers. And the nature of our leprosy is sin. Romans 3:23 tells me, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But I rejoice for the message of healing. I don't have to go to Samaria. I don't have to take the 10 changings of clothing. I don't have to carry all that gold and silver. Why? Because of what happened at Calvary. Jesus paid the price. God, at the appointed time, sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to seek, to search, and to save. Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That is the message of healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you. Redeemed his child and forever I am. Praying. God, our loving Father, thank you for the message, God. We ask that all that was said, Lord, and was relayed to the congregation may find its place in the hearts of all those who heard. And God, may their lives be transformed. May the healing be manifested in their walk with you, O Lord. Bless each and every person that is represented here. And let your light so shine through them. We thank you for the Sabbath and glorify your most high name. The decisions that have been made, O Lord, strengthen them and help them be fruitful. We ask all this, trusting and believing in the name of Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.